Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil, before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in a cloud upon the mercy seat. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for the sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. And he shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and he shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with a linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. Now look down verse 14 for sake of time. And he shall take the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward. And before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle the blood with his finger 7 times. Then shall he kill the goat of a sin offering that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat before the mercy seat. Now Hebrews chapter 9, please. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 6. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as that the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them unto the time of reformation. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? I didn't know what my brother was going to speak about tonight when he was speaking to us about the forgiveness of sins. But this has been going before me today, and wondering if, you see, every time we come together in meetings like this, we wonder what in the world are we going to say. They've heard it all before. What more can we say? So we just have to keep going back over the same old thing. Man's ruin, God's remedy. And mind you, you can't get a greater story than that. There's people that can do it a whole lot better, but they can't give you a better story. The fact that Christ died on the cross of Calvary to bear away our sins, it's more than tongue can tell. But what I'm thinking about here tonight simply is the forgiveness of the people of the Old Testament, first of all, and then it brings us into the New Testament, where, again, it's the blood. One man over in Ireland, when Mr. Knox had a big tent up that held 3,000 people, and he was preaching night after night about the blood of Christ being the way of salvation. Another man further down, I won't tell you what religion he was, poor fellow, didn't know himself. Because he got up on a Sunday morning and he said, I don't like this slaughterhouse religion. I want to say very emphatically right now, the person that despises the blood of Christ, let me say as I'm going by here, the blood itself is the life that's in the body. What then is the idea of the shedding of the blood? The idea of the shedding of the blood is a life is given. Simple as that. And it's not so much the blood as the person that had that blood. You see, we all have blood, don't we? But there's not a man on the earth that could shed his blood for me. Because everyone were sinners, as we have already heard. But the Lord Jesus Christ, being a perfect person, given a body that he didn't need before. When he made the worlds, he didn't need a body. When he put the sun in his space, he didn't need a body. All he did was speak and the word came, everything came into play. But when it came to saving my soul, he needed a body like mine. In the Old Testament, in Exodus 13, is it? Yes. Exodus 13. The little lamb could die for the unclean animal. But a little lamb can't die for me. I need another person the same as I am, except a person without sin. And God gave to him a body nearly 2,000 years ago that he didn't need in all eternity gone by. It's terrific. It's powerful. It's beyond human reason. Yet God knew that's the only way the sinners could be saved. I want you to look at this for a minute. Now look, this is just a picture. But what a picture. In the Old Testament, God has given us pictures and types and shadows over and over again so that we can study them and show. And it's like what Spurgeon said, that great Baptist preacher. He said, it's like windows in a house. It lets the light in. And the Old Testament is full of pictures to let the light in. But when you come to the New Testament, everything in the Old Testament is a picture becomes a reality. Now what are we talking about here? God says to Moses, tell Aaron, there's only one time a year that he's allowed to go in behind the curtain into the holiest of all. Now he said, the priests, plural. They can be working in the tabernacle in that one place there, the first coming into. They can work in there from day to day. Nothing will happen to them. In fact, they have to be in there. But there's a great curtain going up. If you could just picture tonight, like this is the tabernacle here, and another part in here, and a great big veil. Why does my hand 4 inches thick? And that's a cross. There's no artificial light in there. There's no lamp in there. The lamp is outside in the other place. But inside this place there's no artificial light. And yet it's lit. What's in there? That's God in there. And God is light. In him there's no darkness at all. Now what he's saying here is simply this. Tell Aaron that he can only come in behind that curtain once a year. He's the only one that can come in, secondly. And he can't come in there unless he has blood. A victim has died. Now then, first of all, before he does that now, he's to take off those lovely garments, those beautiful garments, with all the colors in it. Take that off and put just the linen clothes on. What's he saying? It's only a picture. The linen clothes, the white linen, would speak of righteousness. It would speak of purity. Now then he's taken off his beautiful garments and he's going to do something. What's he going to do? He's going to do something for the people of Israel. And the millions outside are depending on one man. So what happens? The animal dies. Its blood has been caught. And now, here's a man. And he's going to come in behind this curtain here. And he's going to come over to a little bit of a built, a thing not much, about the same size as this, only maybe a little shorter. And on that ark, there sits a mercy seat. On this side, there's a cherubim, a golden cherubim. Now, it's only an ornament. It's only a picture. And he's looking down on the seat. And there's another one over here, and he's looking down. What are they looking for? So here's Aaron, and he comes in behind the curtain. And the peril of his life. He wouldn't dare come in there without the blood of that animal. That death is taken care of. And when he comes in there, he's coming in with all the God-fearness that he can muster up. Why? He's going to do something. He's going to be able to go in there and appease. No, that's not the word. The people outside, the millions of them, they're all sinners. And judgment should fall upon them because of their sin. But he's going to go in there and he's going to satisfy God for one more year. Just a year. So he moves in there quietly, and he comes in with reverence and godly fear, and he comes and he approaches that, and he takes it, he takes the finger, and he dips it in the blood, and he puts it seven times on that mercy seat. And then he goes, and he puts it on the front of it. Not on the, no, not on there. God won't allow anybody to walk in the blood of his son. No, it's not there. On and before. Why is it put on before? This is what God's looking for. Those mighty seraphim, they're there as representatives of God. And God's looking for blood. And he puts it there seven times. He puts it here for people to see. But you remember there was a veil there. And nobody could see it. Nobody could see it with the natural eye. How are they going to know that God has covered their sin? Because all that he's going to do is put the blood there, and God will cover their sin for another year. Next year he's going to do the same thing again. Next year the same thing again. Next year, the same thing again. Year after year after year after year. What's he doing? He's bringing the, he's, in other words, he's represented that whole crowd out there, and he's putting the blood there for God to see. And again, he's putting it, I want you to get a hold of this now. But how are they going to know? How are they going to know that God has forgiven them for the time being? Maybe I shouldn't say even that. How do they know that God has covered all of their sin? For what happens? As soon as that happens, God goes and gets their sins and puts them in there under the mercy seat. Here's the mercy seat here. That's what everybody needs, isn't it? Mercy from God. The blood put there, and God has mercy on that whole crowd. He puts their sins in underneath the mercy seat for the time being. Year after year. And all that's happening is their sins are only covered. Their conscience is still pricked the next year again, and again they come back again. How are they going to know? This is what I want to get to. How are they going to know that God has accepted them? How are they going to know that they have been forgiven or covered for the time being? How are they going to know? They can't see it. The veil hides it. This was for God. This is for them. But they can't see it. How are they going to know? When that man is done with that job, and mind you, if he doesn't do it right, he'll die in there. Yes, Aaron the high priest? If he doesn't do it the way God has, if he only puts it there six times, God will slay him. The whole people outside, they're all depending on this one man to do a good job before God. How are they going to know?
first thing that comes, and he pulls the curtain back again. Some say from underneath, I don't know, but anyway, it comes out from behind that curtain. People are wondering, have we been covered? Have we been accepted of God today for this past year? He takes the linen clothes off again. And he puts those beautiful garments on once more. And when he comes out, and the people hear the bells again. Thank God. Thank God. We have been accepted. Because if we had not been accepted, if that whole crowd had not been accepted, he couldn't come back again. I hope you get the picture. But this is only a picture. This is only a picture. Not only did he put the blood on that mercy seat 7 times, but he has to do it properly. He has to stand and do it toward the east. So what? Isn't the east where the sun rises, reminding us of resurrection? And my friend, I want to tell you tonight, again, it's only a picture. Now let's look at the reality for a minute. And we come into Hebrews. And what do we find? In Hebrews we find that the Lord Jesus Christ, he laid aside his kingly robes. He veiled his gracious. And he came into a world of sinners lost through that virgin birth. Laid in a manger where the oxen and the cows would eat their hay. No, he didn't come to the king's palace. He came in humility. He laid aside his kingly robe. Stepped into a world of sinners lost and started through this journey of his as he was growing up, amazing the doctors and the lawyers. Finally goes to Calvary, and there with arms outstretched upon a tree of Calvary, the Lord Jesus hanging there. What's happening? What's happening? God goes and gets all those sins that he put away underneath the mercy seat. And he brings them out and he lays them on his son. In doing that for the Old Testament people, he laid mine there as well. You wonder why we keep on preaching? You wonder why we keep on telling people the wondrous story? Oh, I wish I could do it the way I'd like to. I wish I could do it the way God would have me to. I wish I had a vocabulary to tell you tonight about that blessed one. There's only one that could do it. But wait a minute. He's hanging on the cross. And he died. He was the victim. His blood was shed. And when that happened, now God takes this great big veil here that a team of horses couldn't pull apart, and he rips it from the top to the bottom to let you and I see. It was there all the time. God told them it was there, but by the eye of faith is the only way they could see it, until he ripped the thing apart, and he's, there it is. I want to tell you tonight, my friend, it's there all the time. You don't have to put it there. There's one girl back home, and all the preachers have tried their best to show her the way of salvation. I think she's kind of enjoying it, really, to tell you the truth. She's got a face as long as the day and the morrow. It's almost an act, I think. Wouldn't you say? I said to her, tell me something. Do you not understand that Christ died on the cross? Oh, she says, I know that. Well, I said, who did he die for? Now, she's very cautious. She's cagey. She knows all the answers. And she's not going to let you get in. I said, who'd he die for? Well, he died for you. I said, that's right. Did he die for anybody else? Well, yeah, there's all the Christians. Anybody else? Well, she said, yeah, he died for me if I believe it.
And that's the way a lot of people are looking at it. There's maybe somebody in the meeting tonight, and you think, if I believed it, God would have to save me.
In other words, are you going to tell me that if you believed it, that would make it happen? Or is it there all the time? Is it there all the time? Is it? He thinks it is. Well, there it is in this blessed book. God has given to you and I a message from heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't taking the blood of bulls and goats like Aaron did, because that was only a picture. But he has taken his own blood. Not the blood that he shed in the cross, but on the strength of. He's entered into the holiest of all. For me. The high priest of Israel, he takes the blood of the goat in behind, and he puts the blood there on that mercy seat for the people outside. God has done an awful lot more for me. The Lord Jesus Christ himself. What a high priest he is. And he's entered into the presence of the God of eternity on the strength of his own precious blood that he shed at Calvary. I couldn't help but believe that. No, it's not if I believe it, it'll happen. It's already happened. And it's there all the time. I wish people would get to their Bibles. You know, in these days in which we're living, I think people must be reading their Bibles with one eye shut and the other one closed. Because they come up with such ridiculous stuff. You know, there's some people... Yeah, there's people that's come to these meetings, and if they could give up the religion, they could get saved. But no, sir, they're not going to give up what they have all these years. They're going to die in their sins because they will not take what God says. And I don't care what religion it is. Gospel Hall included. And that's where we are now, unless you, in case you don't know. Gospel Hall included will do nothing for a person getting to heaven. It's all the work of Christ. And there's not a thing you can do about it. It's all in the work of Christ. It's all in his book. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. I hope that somebody tonight will get the forgiveness of sins that we've been hearing about. And it's all because. It's not just a matter. You see, in the Old Testament with the high priest, all he was doing was getting their sins covered over. For a little while, for another year, year after year after year after year, until Christ came. And when he came, God takes all the sins of the past, the present. You know, I wasn't even born when it happened. Neither were you. But God has looked after it away back then. Well, this is somebody. If he's taken the sins of a guilty world and laid them on the Lord Jesus Christ, then we're all going to heaven. No. No, no. You come into the play here a little bit. Very little. But you're there. You must accept it. God's not going to push anybody into salvation. God's not looking for conscripts. He's looking for volunteers that will be able to worship his blessed Son forever. You have a responsibility to your soul. And that is to accept what God already has done. The work is finished. May God help somebody tonight to get by their own thinking, their own ideas, and everything else that they've conjured in their own mind. And, yeah, get past the preachers. Get to the book. It's there all the time. Shall we pray?
Our God, our Father in heaven, in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we humbly bow in thy holy presence a moment to close our meeting. We thank thee for those who have come along to hear thy word, and we do thank thee for the forgiveness of sins. We thank thee that we do have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins is what we have received by it. And our God, we thank thee that we never need to be in hell. Thou hast provided a way of salvation. And, O God, we pray that none will go away from this meeting having their own ideas or thoughts jamming up or doing away with thy word, but they will just bow to what thou hast said and trust the Savior of sinners, and to thee will be careful to give the praise and the honor and all the glory in his worthy and precious name. Amen. I'll sing a verse of hymn number 149. We might as well sing a whole hymn. It's a good hymn. 149, and the meeting is over.